And welcome to a very special service. This is Mission Sunday, and it's also the admission of a new elder, Susan Gill. I welcome any visitors who are with us today. It's nice to see Alex sitting at the front here again. And you're all invited for a cup of tea at the end of the service in the small hall. This afternoon, the Arranview Care Home is having its Harvest Thanksgiving service, and you're all welcome to come with me and the choir and join in that. Today is also the deadline for the next month's parish record, the November edition. Please give any items to Audrey today. You have most of the intimations, but I want to highlight that South Beach Care Home tomorrow at 2 o'clock is having a special service to celebrate the home's 60th anniversary and the 150th anniversary of the Church of Scotland's social work. It goes under the brand name Crossreach. The moderator of the Church of Scotland is coming as the special guest. So you're all welcome 2 o'clock tomorrow at South Beach. I apologise for the intimations being a bit of a hen's breakfast here. We omitted to put in the midweek worship is on again this week at 11. The prayer time is also on this week at 10:30 on Thursday. And the Guild has a change to their advertised programme. Instead of Andy Shand, it's the Salvation Army. The Friday night adult Christian education in Audrey's continues. And next Sunday, it's Communion Sunday. And a week on Tuesday, the Congregational Board meets. And I commend to you the food bank and Malawi box at the front and back door. Finally, Ray Reid has asked me to intimate she's been taking orders for calendars and for Christmas cards and things. Although it's a bit early in our minds to Christmas, she has to send away the orders in advance. So could you please see Ray as soon as possible, preferably today. So let us worship God. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news." Let us sing hymn 468 in the Red Book. "Speak forth thy word, O Father." 468. Thank you. Jesus' way is that of the manger, the towel, and the cross. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we praise and thank you for being the way that you are. Your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. In your power, you are gentle. In your perfection, you are patient with us. In your supremacy, you are very humble. You are the servant king. You are the almighty Father. You are Christ Jesus. Immortal, invisible, omnipotent, wise God, who is also our Father, Abba Father, Daddy. What a friend we have in Jesus. You are the center and soul of the universe, and yet to each broken heart, how near. You are the God who chooses to leave the glory of heaven and exchange it for a stable in Bethlehem, a carpenter's bench in Nazareth, and a cross on Calvary. We praise and thank you for humbling yourself and stooping down to us because we could never reach up to you. We also praise and thank you for choosing us, calling us, and using us, for raising us up to your service. We are privileged and honored to be called Christ ones, Christians, disciples, ambassadors of Christ, ministers, elders, members of the body of Christ. We particularly rejoice today in the fact that you have called Susan Gill to be an elder here in Saltcoats North Parish Church. Bless her share in your ministry from today in this parish and community. Merciful and gracious Father, forgive us when we fall short of our high callings. Forgive us when the high ideals and good intentions get lost sight of. Forgive us when we sin in word, thought, and deed. Forgive us when we fail to speak and think and act. The spirit is willing, but our flesh is sometimes weak. We want to serve you, but too often we hurt you. We thank you for your word of forgiveness. As a father is kind to his children, so you are kind to us. You know what we are made of. You remember that we are dust. And as far as the east is from the west, so far do you remove our sins from us. So, Lord, as Susan Gill and the rest of us respond to your call to service, help each of us and all of us together as a congregation to be good and faithful servants to you all the days of our life. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I was hoping to have the Sunday school this morning, but we do have Laura. Nice to see you. And we've got Erin, Brian. And I want to ask you all a question here. Aren't mirrors wonderful? What do you do with your mirror? Do you spend a lot of time with your mirror? It might depend the size of your head, how big you need, you see. Just joking. The obvious function of a mirror is to look at it and see yourself, see that your hair's okay. Yeah. Mirrors can also give you a good view behind. I don't usually get to see the elders looking out this way. You can have fun with a mirror if you reflect the light and you do a spotlight. You can dazzle somebody. My father's latest one is he was pestered by seagulls, but he's able to focus the light into their eyes and it seems to chase them away. So he's playing seagull wars at the moment. Lighthouses have strong beams, and they're actually small lights, but they're mirrored. By the magnification of the mirror, it becomes a big beam, and it can save lives. Cat's eyes in the road are not lights. Those bits of light in the road as you're driving, they're just little mirrors of the headlights of the car. So you're getting your own light reflected back. Light is very important, and the mirror effect's very important. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He came into this world to show us the way. And then Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. We're all the light of the world." We don't have the light of Jesus. Only Jesus is Jesus. But we can reflect Jesus' light. So, in that sense, we can be conveyors of the light of Jesus. We can reflect Jesus. People can't see Jesus, but they can see the Jesus followers. And we are the Bible's people read. We are the people they look to for the example of what Jesus would have us all be like. So today is World Mission Sunday, when we're supposed to think about how we can spread the gospel, the good news, to everybody. And today is the admission of Susan Gill as an elder with a particular ministry in that ministry. But we're all thinking about what is our ministry in the ministry of Jesus. So let's all sing together that hymn. Jesus bids us shine in our small corner, in whatever capacity we can. It's 488 in the Red Book. Now let's turn to the Word of God. Three brief readings, all from the Gospel of John, and all concerning the disciple Andrew. John chapter 1 at verse 35. The next day, John the Baptist was standing there again with two of his disciples, when he saw Jesus walking by. "There is the Lamb of God," he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him, and asked, "What are you looking for?" They answered, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" This word means teacher. "Come and see," he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you'll be called Cephas." This is the same as Peter and means a rock. And then John chapter 6, at verse 6. Jesus looked round and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There's a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. And finally, chapter 12, at verse 20. Some Greeks who were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival, and they went to Philip, he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I'm telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped in the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Whoever loves his own life will lose it. Whoever hates his own life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me." Amen, and thanks be to God. Let's sing hymn 211 in the Red Book. Jesus calls us.
Thank you.
On this Mission Sunday, we reflect on Jesus' command, "Follow me. I will make you a fisher of men and women. Go into all the world and preach the good news." We are here because we have responded to that call. And we go out from here today in Jesus' service. Today, though, we're particularly thinking of one particular person in that light, Susan Gill. Many years ago, Susan became a disciple of Jesus Christ. 14 years ago, on the 5th of November 2005, she was ordained as an elder in Fife. So she's been serving in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of Fife. She serves in a triple church linkage, St. Kenneth's, Kennoway, Windygates, which was her own village, and Star. Susan's got quite a CV in church life. She's been involved in the congregational board, the Kirk session. She's been a deputy session clerk, a worship team leader, because the minister for three churches needed folk to help in the other churches when he wasn't there. She's been the guild secretary, the guild president. She's been a hospital visitor in an official capacity. She's done the prayer shawl leading. It was when she went to America to live, she came across the idea of prayer shawls, and she brought it back to Fife. And now that she's come to Saltcoats, she's introduced us to the idea of prayer shawls. In fact, I've got a card here to show her from someone in the congregation just last week. I would like to thank the church for the lovely gift of the prayer shawl. It's appreciated very much. She's also been involved in the Friday mornings, the volunteers who clean the church. And she's been attending, even she was living in Saltcote, she's migrated to Stevenson now, but even there she's still coming here. So we welcome Susan, and we're delighted to have someone of her ability to be an active elder in the Kirk session and in the congregation. So this sermon is a word from God, both to Susan personally and to each of us, because we're all serving God in our own different ways. Jesus says to go into all the world and preach the good news. That is called the Great Commission to every disciple. We have to shine in our small corner in whatever way we can shine. Jesus himself is the missionary. There's only one Jesus Christ. But he does work in us and through us. We are ambassadors for Christ. Whether we like it or lump it, we might be a good advertisement or a bad advertisement, but we are an advertisement because people look to us. We are the Bible's people read. They look to us for a mirror reflection of Jesus. They want to know what Christianity looks like in practice. And they don't want someone far away in different circumstances. They want to see Christianity in practice with somebody just like themselves in the same place that they are. So today, let's focus our attention on one particular disciple who gives us some good examples on being a missionary for Jesus. It says, Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Or as someone else put it, Andrew brought someone to Jesus. There's only three references, and in the three references to Andrew, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. That's why he's reckoned to be the first Christian missionary. He's the patron saint of all missionaries. According to legend and tradition, Andrew went as far afield as India, Greece, and Russia, and his bones were transported to Scotland. He's the patron saint of Greece, Russia, and Scotland. But we don't have to trust in legends. Just look at the Bible story, as we did today, and you'll see how Andrew was a missionary. So let's look at the stories, but in reverse order. Look at Andrew and the Greeks. It was the Passover festival, and that meant that Jews from all over the world came to the Holy Land for the special festival. There were many tourists who would come. The place was abuzz. There were Jews and non-Jews. Some of these non-Jews, the Greeks they call them, they'd heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, and they heard he was in town. So they wanted to meet this Jesus, who's a celebrity by now. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus," they said to Philip. Philip wasn't sure what to do, because, well, Jesus is a busy man, you know. He's got other things to do. He's got a ministry to fulfill. He's here for the Jews, not for the non-Jews, really. Was this a trap? Because Jesus had enemies, and they're always out to get him. They had notepads taking down everything he said and reporting him. So when Philip wasn't sure what to do, he turned to Andrew. I don't know why it was Andrew. Maybe just he was next to him, but maybe more than that. Andrew's immediate impulse is, well, let's go to the master. Andrew knew that maybe Andrew was ahead of his fellow disciples in being aware that Jesus would welcome them. Jesus was the one who said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, don't chase them away." Jesus was the one who said, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If they seek, they will find." Not everybody has always really accepted that Jesus is open to everybody at any time. There was a great debate in the early Christian church whether it was just for Jews or for non-Jews. Peter and Paul fell out over it. Eventually they realized that the gospel is for everybody. Still today there are people in church life who are not entirely convinced that the church is for everybody, even the likes of whatever you care to mention. But the church really is for every single person, even the worst that you could think of person. It's not a home for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. How do people out there know they're welcome in unless we go out and bring them in? Andrew grasped that early on. Let's take the second story, Andrew and the wee boy. Jesus was preaching and teaching, healing, doing a whole ministry. And he longed for some breathing space sometimes, just alone with his disciples. But everywhere he looked, they were coming over the hill chasing him. So again, he's surrounded by 5,000, at least the men were 5,000, there might have been double that. And then Jesus is teaching them, and then the disciples start to think, practicalities, Master. What about lunch? How are we going to feed them? And Philip's the one who expresses the anxiety. And Jesus is teasing him. Well, what are we going to do, son? Andrew, being Andrew, in the meantime, while the disciples are scratching their heads, down to earth, practical, he gets hold of a guy who's got some food. "Look, Master, this boy, he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I know that doesn't feed a multitude, but it's a start, maybe." He's introducing the boy to Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus will do next. He just trusts Jesus to always have the answer. No matter how insignificant the little picnic lunch was or the little boy was, he knows that Jesus can work with little people's little contributions and do miracles with them. We are never so insignificant that our contribution doesn't matter. He wants it. And everybody else's contribution matters too. He wants them. Andrew sort of knew that. That's why he reaches out and brings in others and their talents to the master. And let's take the third story, Andrew and Peter. It starts that Andrew is a disciple of John the Baptist. But when John the Baptist sees Jesus and says, look, I'm just the guy pointing to the greater than me. This is the Messiah I was talking about. As soon as they hear that, Andrew and his friend, doesn't name who it is, they leave John the Baptist, he plays second fiddle now, and they follow Jesus. And think of that, they caught up with Jesus, and Jesus spends the rest of the day with these two folk. Imagine if we'd had a whole day with Jesus. The first thing that Andrew then does is he runs home and gets his brother Simon. Simon, I've met the Messiah. You know the one we've been waiting for hundreds of years, that the whole Old Testament's pointing to. He's arrived. This is it. And he can't rest till he introduces Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus meets his brother, Jesus and his brother click. They get on like a house on fire. Jesus gives him a nickname. I'm going to call you Peter, the rock. And very quickly, Andrew's in the background, Peter's at the center. Peter was the unofficial leader of the band. Andrew had been the first disciple. He'd been the one to introduce his brother. But now he's eclipsed. It wasn't the first time in his life that had happened, I'm sure. Andrew could live with that. When Jesus took his little inner core with him, it was Peter, James, and John, no Andrew. It was Peter who was the center, the noise, everywhere they went, the life and soul of the party. Later we read, and we read it in those passages twice, Andrew is described as Simon Peter's brother. Because by then, he's the famous one, he's the not so famous one. And they have to even describe Andrew as his brother. But Andrew was a pillar. That quiet type in the background that all team managers love to have in their team. Not the prima donna, not the life and soul, just the hard worker behind the scenes who quietly feeds folk to Jesus, introduces them, and Jesus and them click, and then they may shine. We need lots of people like that who are prepared to take second place, humbly serve. They're happy to step back and let others take more limelight. There's a place for every type. And then one last thought on that. Andrew's missionary work began right at home. The first person he tried to convert to Jesus was his own brother. He ran to his house and got him. My father was a fish salesman till he was 40, and he changed career to be a minister. He was all set to go into all the world and preach the gospel when God says, I want you to be the minister in the church that was so close to his office they worked in that the shadow of that building came across the window of his office. Absolutely across the street. He thought he would be going further afield than that. Quite often our best missionary work, well, really, if you think about it, the only place it can really be is where we are. Jesus bids us shine in our small corner. So let me say to Susan, to each of us, we offer ourselves to Jesus. We're willing to be his hands and feet and voice. We're willing to have limelight or obscurity, to be thanked or not thanked, to be successful or just to be faithful, to work faithfully for the Master. That is its own reward. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we lay before you our loaves and our fish. Take them and use them and do miracles with them. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 431, Jesus Master, Whose I Am. 431.
I
Romans chapter 12 says, we have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ. We're all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil, hold to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christian brothers and sisters, and be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard and don't be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles. Pray at all times. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Saltcoats North Parish Church, Kirk Session, having resolved to add to the number of elders, has chosen Susan May Gill. Since due notice has been given and no objection been offered to her life and doctrine, we therefore proceed. So Susan, would you please come forward? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high and has given gifts to the people for the building up of the body of Christ, the Church, we are here to admit, excuse me, we are here to admit to the office of eldership Susan May Gill. In this act of admission, the Church of Scotland, as part of the one holy, Catholic, or universal and apostolic Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God. Through Jesus Christ, incarnate, crucified, and risen, God offers everyone forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, eternal life, all received in penitence and faith, and God calls us to work in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. And the Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognizing liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, and modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. So, Susan, in view of this declaration, you are now required to answer these questions. Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this Church?
I do.
Do you promise to uphold its doctrine, worship, government, and discipline?
I do.
And do you promise to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? You're now required to sign the formula which all ministers and readers and elders sign on taking office. As you sign it, I'll read what it says. So just come up. It says, I believe in the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and promise I will submit thereto and concur therewith. And I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church. Let us pray. O Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you for your church and for calling us to serve within it. You have indeed given many different gifts to many different people, all for the building up of your church, so that she may be a reflection of your light and the channel of your life and love and power to the world around us. We pray now for your worldwide church and for Saltcoats North Parish Church. We pray for your blessing on the Kirk session and upon Susan, the latest new elder in your service. Those whom you call, you also fit. Grant her, as you have promised, all that she needs so that she may faithfully serve you. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. Teach her. Make her pure in heart, unselfish, always zealous for the advancement of your kingdom and the well-being of your church. Keep her faithful to the end, and when you, the chief shepherd, will appear, let her receive with all the redeemed a crown of glory that never fades, and may she hear you say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to say a blessing and then invite you all to join in singing the blessing, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." It's 556 in the hymn book. Susan, may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you wisdom, courage, and energy to serve him all your life. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God has called you, and he will not fail you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Please stand. Susan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, I now declare you to have been admitted to the office of Elder here in Saltcoats North Parish Church and in this parish. In token of this, we'll now give you the right hand of fellowship. Welcome. May God bless you. Would you like to come up? That's fine. Okay. Please be seated. At this point, I'm charged to give a word of exhortation to both the elder and the congregation. So let me start with you, Susan. Always remember that you're not called because you're special, you're called because in Christ you are special. You're not called to be successful. You're called to be faithful. You may or may not be the most talented and able person in the world, but you can always be the most willing. God doesn't need lots of extraordinary people. What he needs is lots of ordinary people living in ordinary circumstances, facing ordinary issues, but in God's extraordinary, enabling, loving power and grace. You are a channel, but he is the substance. You're a signpost, he's the one signified. You're an instrument, but he's the master musician. And remember that when he calls us, he fits us. Let me say to the congregation, I exhort each of you and all of you together as a congregation to support Susan and to support all your elders. Receive them into your homes and into your hearts. Share the ministry of Christ with them. Pray for the elders as the elders pray for you. We're each called by God to serve him in our various ways, and together, as a team, let us all work together for the upbuilding of the body of Christ and the extension of his kingdom to ever more people. Jesus is the minister, but as elders and members, he commissions us to go out into our world and share the good news of all that he has done, is doing, and promises to do. Let us pray. Lord, we rededicate ourselves to you this morning. And we bring to you this morning the needs of our parish. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Morag Conway, Bobby Brennan, Grace Rogerson, Jim Forsyth, and Margaret Curlett. We pray for Ruth Cowan, Peggy Parsons, Alec Hiddleston. We pray for John King and Julie McTavish. We rejoice with Mabel Carson on her 98th birthday, and we commit her to your care. We pray for those who are grieving at this time, especially the family and friends of Peggy Gilfillan, whose funeral was here last Wednesday. We also think of the family and friends of John Murdoch, whose funeral was recently. We think of his wife, Marion. And we pray for the wider world. We think of the Brexit situation, still all to play for. We think of Britain at this time, where this week there was a big police crackdown against drugs. £400,000 worth was seized, along with it 169 weapons. There have been 3,000 knife crimes in Britain this year. We pray for Syria, where everything's in further turmoil now that America has withdrawn. We think of the unrest in Hong Kong, in Santiago in Chile, in Catalonia in Spain. We think of the wars in Yemen and Libya and Afghanistan. And we think of the whole planet facing global warming. 80,000 forest fires in the Amazon this year. Lord, you have set us in this world with all these issues, and we are overwhelmed, but we offer you our loaves and fish, and we look to you for the miracles. As a presbytery, we pray for your blessing on Dalry St. Margaret's and the Reverend Marion Howie, the interim moderator in locum, and we pray for the new minister who will be inducted in a week's time. And work in us. Amen. Well, Susan, I just want to give you a little gift. This is a certificate, and this is a Bible as a gift from the congregation. And may I invite you now to take your seat with the rest of the elders in the cap session. And let's all join together in singing our final hymn, 476, For My Sake and the Gospel's Go. 476. The strength of the Holy Spirit uphold you. The love of the everlasting Father enfold you. And the peace of the Prince of Peace be upon you now and evermore.